Welcome to the Transform Your Relationship podcast, where we'll go beyond the typical relationship advice. I'm your host, Manisha Terry, somatic healing practitioner and mentor. Each week, I'll share personal insights, client success stories, and how my holistic trauma-informed approach can help you transform your relationship from the inside out. You'll learn ways to recognize and prioritize your needs, get to the root of what's upsetting you, and courageously ask for what you want so you can confidently co-create the relationship you desire. You'll also hear from guest experts who'll be invited to share their unique approaches to transformation, and at the end of each episode, you'll receive one tangible practice you can implement right away to transform your relationship. Let's dive in. Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of the Transform Your Relationship podcast. I'm your host, Manisha. I'm happy to be here with you, and welcome to the first solo episode of 2023. We are almost towards the end of the month, but I will still wish you a happy new year, and I hope that you had a wonderful holiday season, even though that can feel and seem very far away at this point. I hope that you were able to take some time to perhaps slow down a little bit. I was able to take a little bit of time off, and I really intentionally practiced slowing down, and I was able to mark the time with a little bit of extra ritual and intention, with some journaling and setting of intentions. And so it felt really, really nice. And to be honest, that first couple of days after the new year, I almost felt like I was coming out of this portal, because I had this past year been able to just take an extended period of time off when I hadn't been able to do that previously. So it felt really good. And on that note, we are going to be talking about mindfulness today, and I'll be sharing a little bit about my experience with it, and also how I see it related, or sometimes not related, to how we show up in relationships. This is such a popular topic. I don't even know how many videos and books there are about it. Obviously, millions of guided meditations, there's apps, there's classes. It's an industry that's really, really blown up. I think when I first started meditating, a very, very long time ago, there was none of that. And so it was me and really a book, I think, that I read and practice and just sitting and trying to figure it out. And then that was me kind of dabbling on my own. But then I started going to some yoga classes, and often at the end of a yoga class, there is a little bit of a meditation, a slowing down, sometimes a seated meditation. And that's kind of where I started to get a little bit more of a taste of it in a group setting, which was really nice because you're with other people, you know, left to our own devices. Sometimes we will do something for a couple of minutes, but anytime we're in a group, I think that there is like a good kind of peer pressure that just helps us stay in focus and stay doing something a little bit longer than we would typically. And I would say from that time, my practice has certainly evolved to look a lot of different ways. After I started taking yoga classes really, really regularly, I was living in New York City at the time, and I was then introduced by a friend to a meditation group that was teaching meditation in a Buddhist system. And so I was really curious, went to the class. It was once a week, and we just got into this really lovely rhythm of going to class and having a meal afterwards and talking a little bit about some of the teachings and the practice. And it felt really nice because it also felt like there was a community attached to it, and there was like a social experience attached to it. And in those classes, there would be some teaching from the Buddhist perspective and then a sitting practice. And it would often be broken down into, you know, shorter segments, and so that we could build up our discipline and ability to sit and, you know, notice what was going on. And really in those early years, it was so much about just noticing the thoughts and noticing, you know, if I could sense any space between the thoughts, which is sort of what the guidance was, and whether I could observe my thoughts wandering and then gently bring them back. And not have any judgment about them and have a sense of compassion and all of these really important mindfulness skills that allow us to be in the present moment. And it was through these classes and this like regular repetition of going and then, you know, practicing on my own at home that I was able to build up some level of discipline in terms of the amount of time I could sit or, you know, what my experience would be and all of these things. And I don't think that sitting for X amount of time means a certain thing or that you have to feel a certain way. I really believe that even if we give ourselves, you know, 3 minutes on a timer and we really are able to sit in that space and even if our mind is wandering, gently bring it back, we are doing something where we are gathering more of our energy from the outside to the inside. And really, to me, so much of mindfulness is about really shifting that awareness from the outside to the inside because we're so externally focused as a society and even externally driven. And so if there are even small ways that we can start to bring presence and awareness back to ourselves and not in a self-serving or self, you know, not in a way that's self-absorbed, I should say, but more in the sense of what is actually happening inside of me, what is my internal state? Because the way we interact and show up in relationships is so much about our internal state. We perceive everything based on what is happening for us inside of ourselves. Like, what is our nervous system doing? What are our thoughts? What are our beliefs? What are we making certain things mean? How are we perceiving something that somebody else is saying? If our internal state is feeling disturbed in various ways, then it is very easy to distort what's coming at us and not really be able to see it from a clear perspective. And this is really where I think mindfulness or meditation or however one practices mindfulness, there are many ways where this could really be a game changer in how we engage in our relationships. So I stuck with those classes for quite a while. I would say, I don't know, maybe about 7 or 8 years, which is a pretty significant chunk of time. And when one ended, I would start the next one. I went on several meditation retreats, and those were incredibly powerful. I think anytime we, you know, have the ability to get away, even if it's for a day or just have like a social media detox or, you know, something like that, there can be such a shift in our state of mind because we're just not being fed constantly with these like external stimuli. And then if you are able to go to a place, you know, in nature or that's quiet and other people are doing the same thing, there's like a group energy to it, which I think can also be really beneficial. And, you know, while that was wonderful and it really allowed me, you know, so much insight and really beautiful practices, and it ultimately what it offered me, I think, was this opportunity to develop a level of commitment and discipline to this practice, which has really seeped into other ways that I work. And my method or way of meditation has sort of shifted over the last, I would say, I don't know, 5 to 7 years, where it's definitely become more body-based and more somatic and more really tuned into like what's happening with the sensations in my body, paying attention to the physiology. You know, I have a background in several things. Like one, I'm trained as an occupational therapist. I worked with children for many years and I would work with a lot of kids with different sensory needs. So I was already attuned or trained really to look at people's nervous systems and really start to understand, well, how is their behavior being impacted by what they're taking in and how they're taking it in. And then I studied yoga for many years and taught for about a decade. And then I practiced a body work called craniosacral therapy, which is really essentially like tuning in to the body, bringing balance to the nervous system. And so a lot of my orientation to these types of practices are very much nervous system based and attuned into those like refined senses. And so when I even think about things like meditation, I think sometimes in the beginning, I really thought about it as a mind practice. I mean, it is called like also mindfulness, right? So there's this aspect of, okay, what am I thinking? What's happening with all my thoughts? Let me gather them. Let me try to calm my mind. But when we start to shift that attention, you know, from all of the thoughts and like start to bring that attention and energy down into our bodies, we then start to also have this whole other world open up to us in terms of what are the sensations in my body? What happens when I'm feeling a little agitated or anxious? Like, where do I notice that? Do I notice a contraction in my belly or in my throat, or is something else happening? So we start to understand the language of our body in a different way as well. And when we can understand that through a practice of perhaps, you know, sitting, so on the outside, it looks like meditation, right? And on the inside, maybe instead of noticing all the thoughts and working with finding that gap between the thoughts, you know, I really shifted to noticing, like, what is happening in my body? And maybe if I have a particular thought, what's then happening in my body, right? Not so focused on just the thought and finding a place of calm, but the thought and noticing, oh, okay, that is not like a welcome thought, or that's not a happy thought. Oh, I notice this thing happen in my body when I have this thought, or when I think of this person, or when I think about this conversation that didn't go very well. So then I start to really make those connections. And that's where I think that this idea of mindfulness can really start to give us this insight into, you know, what are our triggers and how are they showing up for us? And as you get more and more attuned to this, you'll start to notice some of those, you know, internal sensations, maybe even before you fully understand like how you're feeling, or before you can have a fully articulate thought. And what I mean by that is, I would imagine that everyone listening has probably had some experience of the anticipation of a conversation. Like, maybe you're about to talk to somebody and you know that it's a little bit sensitive or a little bit difficult, or you know that maybe they probably won't receive it super well and it will be hard to say. So there is a whole host of things happening in your body at that time. And you might be really just focused on the words and the thoughts and sort of the anxious part of the mind. But if you're able to really drop down and start to notice all of the signs that your body has been giving you, you can almost use that practice of mindfulness to drop your attention and really focus on some of those sensations, or, you know, even the symptoms or indicators, however you want to call them, of your heart racing, of your stomach churning, of maybe feeling a little bit nauseous, chest tightening, all of these things. And with that mindfulness practice, can you then start to bring your body a little bit more into a place of calm? And then does that shift the way that you can then think more clearly and speak more clearly or directly, or, you know, with a level of compassion or understanding that might not have come out before if you were this one jumbled piece of, you know, thoughts that were a little bit anxious, body feeling tight and contracted, and all of those things together? Those words are going to come out very differently, and the person on the receiving end will also receive them very differently. And the reason I'm breaking it down in this way, and why I feel like it's so important to break it down in this way, is because I really have found in my own personal experience that there is almost this assumption that when you meditate or when you do yoga or when you do something around mindfulness, it just translates into other parts of your life. And, you know, I've spoken about this before in other ways, but I remember I would go to a yoga class or, you know, do a meditation and I would feel really great afterwards, like really calm, really grounded. That certainly would have a bit of a ripple effect. It would extend out into, you know, parts of my day, a few hours, kind of depending. But then if I had a conversation with somebody or a particularly difficult person or a difficult conversation, I might notice myself like feeling triggered, taking things personally, you know, feeling all of those anxious feelings again, or, you know, not being able to really say what I wanted or set a boundary. And so I, over time, I just started to really wonder and think, well, I'm doing all of these things. Like, I spend a lot of time doing yoga or meditating. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, how is this not actually translating into my relationships to the degree that I'm practicing it, right? Like there's just not a proportional experience that I was happening. And so I started to get like more curious about what is really going on here and how can I, you know, bring these practices that are clearly beneficial and are clearly helping me into my actual relationships where I could feel more calm, even if I was, you know, confronted with something that was difficult, or even if I didn't like what someone had to say, like how could I still be there, navigate that, and engage in a way that I could be proud of on the other side. And this curiosity over time is, you know, one of the things certainly that led me to learn more about like relationship dynamics and the impact of trauma and understand being highly sensitive and recognizing how the environment also had an impact on my nervous system and how overloaded or overstimulated I might feel. So there was very much a reason why I continued to explore all of these other areas and then have really brought mindfulness through that and threaded it through that. Because in theory, when you're thinking about things like mindfulness or yoga or qigong or tai chi or, you know, anything that really brings a sense of presence, you are more attentive, you are focused inwards, you are hopefully slowing down. And all of those things can have a profound impact on our relationships. You might, in theory, again, listen, be a better listener or be more attuned to what somebody is saying because you're having practice being attuned to yourself. You might slow down and not make assumptions, right? Or perceive things with a little bit more accuracy or slow down enough to understand the other person's perspective. But these things were not, at least for me, automatic. You know, they definitely weren't translated up without any intentional practice or work. And so I really wanted to have this conversation because I think mindfulness is an incredible practice. There's so much research going on about it. There's so many tools for us to use it and support that is relatively very accessible. And yet, you know, I find that people are using it, but it's not necessarily translating. So I think that it is really important to, you know, think about what that, if this is happening for you, if you're noticing this, then how can you intentionally bridge that gap? And one of the ways I would recommend really doing this is getting curious. So if you do have some kind of mindfulness or meditation practice or something else that you do that brings more presence, allows you to focus more on your internal state, all of those things, you might get curious about, well, how long does that last? Like, how long does that feeling that I have after this practice last? You know, what shifts it? You know, does it shift when I interact with somebody else? Does it shift when I interact with a particular somebody else? What happens, you know, when you go back home or you go into the other room and you're talking to your partner and they make an insensitive comment? What happens in that moment? Or what happens if you answer the phone and you're talking to a family member or a friend and they say something and it upsets you or it triggers you? So these are the types of things that I would invite you to look at. And if you are triggered and you just came out of a meditation, that doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. It's really just information, or I like to think of it as gathering data to notice, well, that's really interesting. I felt really amazing doing this. And then I came, you know, out of this space and I got on the phone or I interacted with a person and this is how my state shifted. You know, how fast did it shift? And you can start to notice patterns, you know, because sometimes, yeah, someone is coming at you and it's really inappropriate or they shouldn't be saying something that they're saying or they're having a bad day. And so it totally makes sense that you would have that reaction. You know, other times there's something going on internally for you and you might get irritated, like no matter who it is or what it is. And so that's how we can start to really use these practices too. When we can start to use them to pay attention to how is it that we are reacting and Is it our environment? Is it particular people? Is it certain topics? Is it like a sensitive area? And then that's when you can do some of the deeper work that I often talk about, you know, in terms of, well, what is underneath this trigger? Or what is underneath this reaction? Or what is underneath my feeling upset or defensive or taking things personally? And that's how you can really start to bring this kind of practice alive for you. So if you've never really meditated or done these types of practices, there are lots of, you know, YouTube videos, there's various apps that you can try. One I would suggest, if you're drawn to this, there are tons of apps out there. There's lots of ways that you can do guided practices. If you are a person who prefers quiet, I am okay with silence. It doesn't bother me. I'm also introverted and prefer quiet spaces. Not everyone is like that, but if you're that way, then, you know, set a timer for a few minutes and sit and start to notice. If you prefer somebody's voice guiding you, there again are lots of apps. There are absolutely ways to do that and to practice it. And you can find things that are different amounts of time to really start to play with this. If you go back to episode 17 of this podcast, it's the one at the end of the year, I offer a short guided meditation in that. So you might try that as well. And start to first notice, well, how am I feeling after I practice? Am I noticing a shift in my thoughts, or maybe the speed of my thoughts? Or am I noticing that my body feels a little bit calmer? First, you start to get curious. And then if you are a person who, you know, has meditated for quite a while, notice, well, how does this make me feel? Or how does this typically make me feel afterwards? And then, you know, how long does that last? How is it impacting how I interact with people? Does it change? Maybe the days that you practice, you do notice that you're a little more calm or understanding or patient, or things don't bother you in the same way. And then the days that you skip or that you don't do it, you have a different experience. And how can you then start to be more intentional with really drawing some of those benefits that you're noticing through? And how can you use that to also start to recognize some of your own, you know, patterns or tendencies or feelings about certain people or topics or sensitivities, so that then you can actually, you know, do something with that information? And when I say do something with that information, that can look like a lot of different ways, you know, to explore that. You might be a journaler, so you might write a little bit about it. If you're working with a coach or a therapist, you might talk that through. You might take it to a friend and say, hey, you know, I noticed this thing that always comes up when X, Y, Z, and you can have a conversation like that about it. So there's lots of ways to start to notice some of these things within ourselves, and slowing down is really the first step, in my opinion, because if we can't slow down to notice what's going on internally, whether it's in our body or in our mind, we can't really do something different. So that's where I'm going to leave you here today in terms of your next steps, right? To start to pay attention or play with a practice if you don't have one. If you do have a practice of some sort, really start to see, how is this impacting my relationships? Am I a better listener? Or again, do I take things less personally? Can I speak up about what I really think? You know, am I able to set a better boundary when I have practiced some level of mindfulness throughout the day? Can I let go of control of how someone else might react or what they might say or do after I speak up? So these are the ways that it can have like massive, massive impact, like on, you know, one, you in your internal state, but also how you're engaging with other people, and completely transform the dynamics of your relationships. You know, when you come from a more grounded, steady place, that's the energy that people are also going to receive on the other side. And that is incredibly powerful. So I will leave you with that. If you have any insights you'd like to share, you know, I always love to hear from you. You are welcome to message me on Instagram. Let me know what you think, and I will see you the next time. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Transform Your Relationship podcast. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts to help more people find us so they can transform their relationships too. As a thank you, every month, we'll pick one winner to receive a free 45-minute one-on-one somatic coaching session with me to explore and gain clarity around a relationship challenge. And if you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the show, then please do share and help me reach more highly sensitive women who want to experience richer, more connected relationships.